Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Sean Salisbury Show. I believe this is episode 27, maybe 26.
Sounds about right.
But it could be 27. And, you know, we had a fun weekend of football. I'm about to ask you a question in just a second. But as always, we're brought to you by BetOnline.com.
We sure are, and football is back and has been back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup information, player news, and game trends. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events like Major League Baseball, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. And obviously all the other sports. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE. That's B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
As always, yes, thank you to betonline.com. All right, John, I'm just going to say it. The NFL stinks. It's not fun to watch. Yes, there's a couple games each week. Buffalo, Kansas City this week. Dallas, Philly was kind of a fun watch. But other than that, this weekend just absolutely sucked for NFL games. It's such a poor product this year. And I don't know if it's I was talking to some buddies, and it seems like defensive coordinators have figured out how to keep the big plays from happening. With all this big play explosion we've seen over the last 5-6 years, it seems like defensive coordinators are finally starting to figure out, leave two safeties back, take away the deep pass, make everything underneath. And a lot of these quarterbacks aren't built this way now with college. You know, you have so many open guys. Look at the Alabama-Tennessee game. Guys were just running wide open down the field, it felt like, every single drive. And that's not happening in the NFL. And some of these quarterbacks, they don't know what to do in the NFL because they're not seeing these guys wide open down the field, and they're trying to force it in different areas, and it's just not working, and it's turning into not a fun watch at all. I don't enjoy watching the NFL right now.
No. And Nick Saban, speaking to the college thing, and Alabama, that's become commonplace against these teams in college football. And that's not, trust me, the Nick Sabans of the world, we're not used to seeing that against his defenses. That ought to tell you. And it feels like college coordinators on offense, I don't know if guts are the terms I want to use, but more innovative. It's weird. Yeah. They play less conservative. Well, I'm with you. I said on my show, and I was asked a question in Tampa on a radio show this morning parody. They mentioned the word parody. They do a great job on their show. And I said, well, it's only parody because it's bad football.
Yes.
I said, there's a handful of teams playing good football. I said, the parody is parody because we are playing sloppy, bad football more than I've ever seen in my life. And I am with you. I honestly, and this is not that the NFL cares about me, and I'm not, it's not the, football 30 years ago was better. This has nothing to do with it because I know it goes in cycles, but I've never seen more awful football 6 weeks into a season. It dominates good football. Bad football is way ahead of good football on offense and defense right now, tackling and missed drop balls and even officials' calls. It seems like we got a lot of amateur hour. I'm going to tell you this, man. 6 weeks into a football season and about 2.5 hours or 2 hours into my Sunday games, I'm burned out.
Yeah,
me because too. I'm like, I can't. It's not fun. I'm not enjoying. Now, the team that wins 16-13, I'm sure they think it's fun. I'm just talking about for entertainment and good football. So even screw the entertainment, good football. It's never been worse for 6 weeks, and I've never been. Now, I watch because we have to, and there's certain – I'm watching Mahomes and Allen's a great watch, always is. But I honestly am, for the first time in a lot of years, the COVID year bothered me because, you know, the mask thing and people couldn't go to stadiums and all that. And that was like one of those, it was like a lot of us became disinterested with a lot of sports then. But I have never, and I mean, maybe never is the right, wrong word, but I can't remember a time when I've been more bored, less interested, and watching NFL football because I have to, not because I want to, because of my job. I listen, there's a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of things that are more entertaining to me on a Sunday right now than watching football, and on a Monday and Thursday. It's as bad as I've seen the product since I've watched it as an adult.
Yeah. Think about it this way. Me and you have known each other and been watching football together for probably about 7 years now, with the little break when I moved back to Illinois. But in those 7 years, we've always said we would prefer, and we have no problem, we never get burnout watching college football from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. when the Pac-12's getting done, you know, and then sometimes we'll even throw on that late game if Hawaii's playing late, right, just to, you know, wind down and kind of figure out what happened throughout the day. In the NFL, like you said, I mean, it's you're beat down by halftime of the second round of games, and you're just like, oh, there's still a Sunday night. Even if the Sunday night game's good, like Dallas Philly, you're kind of just like, I don't really want to watch this. And
dude, when 6 o'clock hits on a Sunday p.m. 5:30 p.m. so sometimes in the third quarter of the first round of games,
yeah,
I'm like, and it could be like you said, Dallas Philly. It's like, oh, really? Maybe it's a good movie night. I'll tape that and watch it if it's worth watching the next day, or I got to go on and got to talk football. I'm with you. But I will sit in front of that TV till 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. I will not do that for the NFL now.
Right.
I just don't. And it's not because I'm against something or the money. Yeah. I want them all to get paid. Yeah. I'm against the bad product. And to me, the product is, quite frankly, great athletes, average product, very average.
Yeah. For sure. All right. With that said, let's do something we haven't done in a while, at least. Let's start with the college game. Let's start with Alabama, Tennessee. It was crazy. 52-49 Tennessee win, gets the kick over the upright by inches on a knuckleball as he kicked it. And that stadium went absolutely bonkers. Great win for Tennessee. But here's the thing. In the end, nothing's finalized. This doesn't vault Tennessee into even the SEC championship game. They still got to get through Georgia on their side and beat Georgia to be able to get there, assuming Georgia doesn't slip up. And
they still got to play Kentucky and Will Levis too.
Yes, exactly.
Don't they have that game? Yep. Exactly. I believe that one's at home, and the Georgia game's in Athens, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So while this is an awesome win for Tennessee, enjoy it. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of Tennessee beat writers, a lot of Tennessee, you know, faithful, acting like they're in the college football playoff, and they jumped to number 3 in the rankings. And I personally, you know, I'm voting now with believe.com on their top 10, and I had them 4 because, Sean, the one thing that concerns me, yes, Hendon Hooker, Jalen Hyatt, they're all playing really, really well. Brew McCoy, they're going to get Cedric Tillman back. That offense is fun as hell under Josh Heupel, but they don't play defense, and we've seen how that works in college football. And that's a big problem for me. And that's why I had them number 4 behind Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan. That because they play Ohio State, not quite as much, but Georgia and Michigan play on both sides of the ball. They're top defenses, top offenses, and Ohio State's right there defensively. I just feel like they haven't played an offense yet that challenge them.
They're ranked 10th defensively, I think, in the country.
Yes, but you look at the offenses
offensively, right?
They've played. It's just there's nothing there. There's not one good offense. Whereas you've seen some others for the other teams, but great win for Tennessee, as I said, and Hendon Hooker, he's right there for the Heisman. So, just what were your thoughts on this game? There was a couple missed calls, I thought, that went against Alabama, especially that big interception late. That, in my opinion, I still don't know what happened, because if you watch the video from way back, the referee throws the flag when McKinstry, Kool-Aid is his name, he was at like the 35. He intercepted it at the end at the goal line.
Right.
The flag came out when he was at the 35. So I don't know what happened there.
Talk about a delayed call. It was like it was 7 second delay on television, yeah, right?
Right.
It was weird. I mean, even for live in the game. Listen, this is as big a win as Tennessee's had since their national championship
big
year.
Time, yep.
It absolutely is. And the celebration, the program, tearing down the uprights, God bless him. It was phenomenal. A phenomenal performance. The you talk about guts now. They didn't play not to lose 1 ounce of that right. game against the Crimson Tide. So kudos to them. The thing is, here's the problem when you face Georgia defense or you face Ohio State, and Georgia's offense, I think, is 10th in the country and their defense is mm-hmm. second. Is that when you and Michigan, and let's just say Georgia and Ohio State for fun now, we'll get to the Wolverines, mm-hmm. is Ohio State can score with you. Their offense is as good as it gets with possibly the first pick in the draft. Georgia's defense, I would imagine, isn't going to let you hang 50 plus on them. Now, maybe. I don't know. When you're running 90 plays, I guess. But you're going to – the point to validate what you're saying, Segs, you're going to have to score 40 to beat an Ohio State
yeah.
or a Georgia team. Now, if you score 40 against Georgia, then you deserve to be the number one or two ranked team without
Definitely.
Question.
Definitely.
And Ohio State's going to run into a tougher schedule. So I love it. And it'd be great if all of a sudden we're sitting here and Tennessee goes in. What great for college football to go in and beat Georgia in Athens. We'd be like, what the hell is going on? The copycats would come out. What's Josh Heupel doing different? You got to have the quarterback. But a huge win, not to diminish it, but it's going to get tougher. And we thought that with Alabama. And maybe this is just Tennessee's. Maybe they're hitting on all cylinders and could stay healthy. And this is their year.
Yeah, maybe.
But they're not going to win with 40 and 50 points when it gets to the Final Four. And you and I both know it. They're not scoring 50 against Michigan. They're not scoring 50 against Ohio State. But they may. And Ohio State's capable of hanging 60 on somebody, too. And I'd find – listen, if you can score 50 on an NFL-type defense at Georgia, then you deserve to be the national champions as well. So
right.
I'm with you. I loved it, and I would have them in my top four as well. But enjoy the celebration, but get back to work. And that includes Tennessee, so you don't have a letdown because it ain't going to get much easier as you got to go to Athens. That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, and then looking at the other top 10 matchup, we had Michigan against Penn State. I mean, it was basically domination from Michigan from the opening whistle. There was a couple – Sean Clifford had the big 60-yard run to get down to the five, and then they got in the end zone. And then kind of the fluky interception return for a touchdown where it was batted up, bounced off a guy's helmet, shoulder, into the hands of a Penn State defender, and he returns it for a touchdown. And then basically after that, I mean, Michigan dominated in all facets of the game.
Oh, yeah.
And including 418 yards on the ground, most of that between Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. And that right there, this game shows me that Michigan has the ability to play with anybody in the country this year because their defense stepped up against a good team. And, you know, I just said they ran for 418 yards. That was against Penn State, who was fifth in the country against the rush.
Right.
So just a domination win for the Wolverines.
And you know what that does when you talk about Michigan, and they are capable of going 24 or 30 throwing the ball to, and the quarterback rushing for 70 yards himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even have his best throwing day, and they still did what
and
they
he was
did,
71%
right?
completion percentage.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, with the optics, if you didn't know the statistics, you'd say, yeah, he was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'll put it this way. He set the bar pretty damn high. So it didn't feel like a 71%,
right.
maybe because they were running the ball so well. But here's what it also tells me. And you mentioned, I talked about Ohio State. You mentioned Tennessee. What happens when you get the ball? Guess what Tennessee and Ohio State don't get to do? Run 90 plays.
Yeah.
They don't get to play as fast as they want if you run the football like that. And now we could say 419 against, you know, Bowling Green, different story. 419 against Penn State's defense. It tells you they can line up and push you around. The quarterback's dual threat can throw it and run it. And so we're not – if I take your 90 plays and cut them to 70 because we're killing clock running the football and you can't stop me physically at the line of scrimmage, that's really what it's going to come down to. If Tennessee has the ball, they can score on anybody. The question is, regularly, can you handle Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia? You had Alabama and you handle them fine physically. But can you handle week after week when you get late in the season and then in the playoff, and they can run the football, and can you do what you do in 70 plays what you're used to doing in 85 to 90 plays? And can you stop them from doing what they do?
Right.
Because it really, it's like an Arena League football game sometimes, Segs. In truth, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in an Arena League football game, guess what you got to do? Just get like two stops.
Right.
Because then it's 61 to 58, right? You get two stops. So one team gets two stops. Now everybody's in chase mode. And it's the same here. You get a couple stops on Tennessee, and you're one of those teams we just mentioned, you're going to have one hell of a time. I think it's a great story in college football, and I'm friggin' loving it. But the ability to be able to give me the same numbers with 20 less plays, which a team like Michigan running the ball, and Harbaugh will do it and do it and do it on purpose and throw it nine times if that's all it takes, mm-hmm. if they're running it that successful.
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy completing 77.1% of his passes this season. That's a first-year quarterback as a starter.
Right, dude, it's frightening. Told you at the beginning of this that the way that the Michigan could win a national title was changing quarterbacks before the season started. Right. And I respect Cade McNamara, a solid backup now, but they're a better football team and a more explosive football team with J.J.
Yes. I don't want to bring it up, but disappointment. USC loses 43-42. Again, another game where we see some of these just ridiculous calls. You know, I don't want to use that as an excuse for USC. They should have won the game even with those calls, but you can't overlook, you know, I mean, this is football. You know, when a guy just squarely hits the quarterback in the chest and we're calling, you know, roughing the passers and it's costing teams games, it's something that's going to continue to come up week in, week out. And, you know, it hit USC, but you know, they're still in control of their own destiny if they can continue to win out. And I still think that they can do some damage this year.
Yeah. It's going to take win out. They're going to have some help from somebody to get the floor.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they're going to have help, and that they can try. I said for a long time, I said they beat Utah. I believe they're running the table. And UCLA is really good, but I think mm-hmm. USC can beat them.
Yeah.
Because I think Utah is a little bit more physical than USC, although UCLA's offensive line pretty damn good the way they're playing right now. So, but in that game, says, you know what? I don't want to be that guy. We got beat, meaning SC, that, oh, it's the ref's fault. Lincoln Riley handled that just fine himself.
It was a
horseshit referee game.
Yeah.
It really was on some big plays. But Rising matched everything Caleb mm-hmm. Williams did. Back, you score, I score. That kid's a tough SOB, man. And the resilience, and that is a hard place to play. We knew all this going in, okay? And when you give up 40-plus points and a two-point conversion with a game on the line and a ballsy call, but I get why Kyle Whittingham. Now, that's when you go for two. Even at home, now, I know where people are saying we could have kicked it, but we couldn't. It didn't matter what they did. They were going to get yards, right? At least it felt that way on the two-point conversion. I'd have done the same thing Whittingham did with that call. But, Segs, for me, when you give up that many points, it just tells me you're not getting off the field. And with a quarterback that's quality doing, you let him hang around long enough, that's on you. You ain't winning a national title giving up 40-some points to Utah. Even though they're good and can score, it gets worse when you get to the Final Four because there's the quarter. His Rising's good, but they get a little bit more NFL-style, first-round pick style. But I can tell you, the interception that he threw on a hit that was not even anywhere near being a roughing the quarterback call, personal foul. SC was winning at the time. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, I still thought we were going to go on a win, but I'm like, and then they went down and scored. It was a costly, costly part of the football game. Now, you can't control it. You still got to play defense. And, hell, up and down the field, neither team could stop either one. And they had the ball for the most part last other than a few seconds. And I really didn't like three plays in a row on the final thing. They plays that lasted a long time and then flags were thrown and they lost all those seconds. So they didn't have a chance to get in and kick a field goal. Who, you know, regardless, stupid penalties, they had a huge return that put them in great position. You got to stop somebody. So I'm not making excuses. Utah beat us and rightfully so, but it was a horrible, and you heard Brock Huard and he was spot on.
Yep.
It was, what are we doing here is exactly right.
And there's too much of that in football right now. You know, these announcers having to say, what are we doing here is just beyond ridiculous. All right, I'm going to ask you one more college question, and then we'll jump to the NFL real quick. Outside of Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Tennessee, Clemson, Alabama. Do you see a legit team that you think can make a run to the college football playoff? Because those six I just named are kind of all set up where it feels like they're going to kind of all play each other. And I don't know. I don't trust TCU to go undefeated. And I feel like they have to go undefeated to get in. There's no Pac-12 team that's undefeated. We said that before the season, that, or there's UCLA. I mean, but again, I don't know that UCLA's I trust them.
Right.
Yeah. I don't trust them to go undefeated. If they do, then they have a legit, you know, gripe to get in, but I just don't trust it yet. Is there any other team outside those six I mentioned that you trust to be in the realm of possibility getting in the college football playoff?
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
And so you said the four, obviously, Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, Michigan, Alabama. Who is your sixth
team? Clemson.
Clemson, that's right. All right. The truth is probably no.
Yeah.
But I'll give you a couple outsiders. If UCLA beats USC and runs this table, they deserve heavy mention. And
yes,
they want to win
for
the Pac-12 championship. There's no question about it. Because they also have a drawing card. Everybody wants to see quarterback play because he's really freaking good. And you know that, don't kid yourself, that comes into play. Say,
and Chip Kelly.
Of course, if you're a one-loss SEC team and an undefeated – you're going to get in if you're Alabama because they want to see Bryce Young, Nick Saban. There you have a history of winning. You know how that goes, man. It's just the way it works. But UCLA would deserve it. I'm while I thought it was a bad loss because they had a chance to win it, they just put it away. Oklahoma State can still linger, okay? I'm just giving teams that can linger.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a national title team, but they've got some playmakers. They can still linger. You mentioned TCU. But I'm talking about legitimate where I believe, where I trust. Now, had they had taken care of their business early with the proper quarterback, Texas would be we would be discussing them because their quarterback is electric, man. He can flat out throw it.
Quinn and that's where you cannot lose to Texas Tech.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's why that crush you. You just can't.
Yeah,
do
no
it.
Matter who's
I don't
at quarterback,
care who the quarterback you can't, is. That's right. Cannot do it. And if the Trojans go and take care of their business and kick UCLA's ass. And take care of Notre Dame, which it's still Notre Dame, but it's not good Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It's still right. It's still the Irish. Okay. But go and win this thing and then win the Pac-12 championship. And Alabama loses the second game. Tennessee gets beat by Georgia and plays close with Kentucky, you know, or doesn't make the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
Clemson, who I don't know because they're scheduled to, if they go undefeated, they're getting in.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. But if they lose one, I think they're out because their schedule just isn't that great.
You're going to need Michigan, Ohio State, one of the two to lose two.
Right.
Or they're both in contention, depending on who beats who, and if you just are. And Georgia, I don't anticipate them, Sags, losing two games. I don't.
No, I don't either.
I may be wrong, but if they do. So really, in true Sags, it's six teams, the ones you mentioned, and there's probably four that could. And there's probably two that have a legitimate chance with some help. But it doesn't go any deeper than six, maybe eight. And if you're lucky, 10. But I think once you get outside of six, UCLA would have to do something special. And somebody and TCU would have to continue this run to get in. Now, once they get in, well, that's a whole new conversation if they get in. But we're going to ask the question, do you take an undefeated UCLA team if they roll through? Or a one-loss Alabama team,
right? I think you have to take the undefeated team. I mean, you have to.
I would agree.
Yeah,
we would think you'd have to, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right. The Heisman Trophy winner, or if Ohio State loses to you guys, or if Michigan loses to Ohio State in decent fashion, and you go and let's say Alabama and a Big Ten, one of those two lose a game and they're both got one loss. And Georgia, which would mean Tennessee'd have a loss, or even if you throw now if Tennessee beats Georgia, we're having a different conversation. Yes. But if Georgia beats Tennessee and they get in, and Tennessee and Alabama has one loss and Georgia has no losses, and Michigan and Ohio State, one of the two, has one loss, and UCLA is undefeated. Now the waters are, and Clemson's undefeated. So that would mean to me, it would say Clemson's in, UCLA's in, Georgia's in. But how the hell are you leaving? Well, one loss Michigan, one loss the way they're playing, one loss Ohio State, possibly a one loss Tennessee Volunteer team out of the playoff, because you're not leaving an undefeated Clemson team out yet.
No.
If Michigan played Clemson tomorrow, I'd take Michigan and Ohio State over Clemson right now.
Right. Agree.
Right now. Hell, I'm not sure I wouldn't take Tennessee over. Matter of fact, I would take that. I know there's NFL defensive front, but I just think that they can outscore Clemson. I just do. Now, Georgia and the way that your Wolverines are playing right now and Ohio State, I think – now, I know we always say this at this time, but Sigs, we're in week seven now. We gone to week seven. We're going to week eight.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to get hosed, I think, in this one. Because can you imagine UCLA going undefeated and getting dogged out?
Yeah, I just want a year, because now we're getting the expanded playoff. And I just want a year where Clemson goes undefeated, Georgia goes undefeated, Michigan or Ohio State goes undefeated, TCU happens to run the table, and UCLA runs the table. So we have five unbeaten.
And Ohio State, right. And then Ohio State and, say, Alabama have one loss.
Right.
Right, you know what?
Or Tennessee would have one loss. Let's go with Tennessee.
Alabama would have to have another one because they'd be playing. Right, yeah. Because if you got Georgia undefeated, that would mean they'd have to run through Alabama to do it. Right. So, all right. So there you go. Five undefeated teams. Who's getting hosed then?
Right. That's what I want to see, because you know it's going to be
outlandish.
You know it's going to be UCLA or TCU.
Right.
You know you're not leaving out any of the other three. Georgia, Clemson, and say Michigan or Ohio State. Those three are in. It's 100%. The other two that, you know, then it's just an argument. Some fan base and school is going to be pissed off.
Well, yeah. What if we have one of these years where you're like, your Wolverines go, Tennessee takes care of their business and beats Georgia, wins the SEC championship. Mm-hmm. UCLA and TCU go undefeated. And Michigan, Tennessee, TCU, and UCLA are in the Final Four.
That would be awesome. I would love it.
Oh, I would too. It'd be a nice change-up pitch, wouldn't it?
Just because of the crying we would hear from the Georgia fans, the Alabama fans, the Ohio State fans. Just, I mean, that would just be great
the
last year.
Fodder forever, right?
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
It sounds like it's going to be the last year of the college football playoff with four teams, because they are pushing very hard to go to 12 next season, which will be fun. Real quick, we got a few minutes left here. Bills beat the Chiefs 24-20. Josh Allen was outstanding. Patrick Mahomes threw two costly interceptions, including one in the end zone.
He's a human.
One towards the end of the game. But again, it was still a close game. I think if you're the Chiefs, you're not feeling like, oh my God, we cannot beat that team. But you're going to have to go to Buffalo if things keep the way they're going. You're going to have to go to Buffalo in the AFC Championship game or sooner in the playoffs and beat that team in their home stadium.
Agreed.
Which is going to be tough for any team in the AFC.
Good luck.
So just your overall thoughts on that game real quick.
I figured we said it, and I said it this week. I thought it'd be a little lower scoring than in the 20s. Did a show with my guy Grant, and they did. I thought it would be in the 20s, both teams. And we knew quarterback play would be at a premium. Who could run it a little more effectively? Who was going to get a couple stops? And could you control the dominant big plays of the Kelseys of the world and that? And it kind of turned out like that close game. I think Buffalo's the better team anyway. I do.
Yep.
I actually think, Segs, it's three teams right now, and then there's a gap, and then there's another tier. It's Philadelphia, Buffalo, and Kansas City. And then the Chargers, the Cowboys, the Vikings, 49ers, when they're healthier, their bodies are beat up in San Francisco. I don't put the Packers in even the second tier right now.
No.
I'm not ready to put. I don't even know if I can put Tampa in the second tier.
The Rams.
I know
I'm
both
not
of them are
capable.
Rams aren't in the second tier. Arizona,
Dallas
not the
would be
tier.
In that second tier.
I put Dallas, Minnesota, the Chargers, the Giants. They just, they're 5-1, and we can say
and
whatever
I still,
we want.
You know, we opened the show talking about how the product is down and we're not seeing these explosive plays. One team we're definitely not seeing them from, and I expect to see more, but they're finding ways to win games, is the Chargers. Justin Herbert, you know, we're not seeing that machine gun he has on his right arm firing balls down the field. It's just not happening. It's more of a short game with them right now. And, you know, Brandon Staley, we've seen kind of him fuck around, you know, with coaching decisions. I don't know about them either, because it seems like they're the team that always screws up in the end.
I think, and they benched Jackson. You saw that. And Mike Davis came in. I personally think that there's a chance that Staley could cost them a game late, say, or a playoff game. I do.
Right.
He's a good coach, but he gets a little too cute for me at times, and I don't like it. I just do not like it. It gets back to the sloppy football. There's more bad teams than there are good teams, and there's more average teams than there are good teams, and there's probably just as many average teams as there are bad teams that are playing bad football.
Yep.
That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, you hit it. There's three top teams, and then, you know, you can look at a team like Baltimore, 3-3, and reality, they should be 6-0, but they have not figured out how to close games.
They don't know. And the opposite, the Colts don't know how to start much and play in the middle, and they know how to finish games. You know, Matt Ryan's playing is out of his mind in fourth quarters this year and did it again. So if you're playing the Colts and they got the ball with a chance to win, Matt Ryan continues to play. Mm-hmm. When the fourth quarter, the Colts fourth quarter and Matt Ryan's fourth quarters, I feel like I'm looking at a guy who's not 15 years in the league, about 7 years in the league, making all these plays.
Right.
But getting to it, they put themselves in at some point, you're going to get beat in a bad way because you turn the ball over or somebody else is better than you in the fourth quarter. And they're probably going to go on and win a division. I know Tennessee lingers, but their fourth quarter heroics are exactly what Baltimore needs. And the Colts need some of the Baltimore first three quarter game, right?
Right.
But neither one of them, neither one of them are a great football team.
No.
Great players on both have some great players, but neither one are a great team. And you don't throw the ball 57 times very often and win. We saw it 55 plus times or whatever twice this week. Yep. Herbert and Matt Ryan, and both won.
Yeah, barely.
Yeah.
And then the Eagles, 6-0. Real quick, before we go to the Eagles, just throw out some credit to Brian Daboll. I don't know how he has that team 5-1. It's mind bending. I don't get it. There's not a lot of talent on that team. Their draft picks aren't doing much of anything. I mean, for the last few years, their draft picks aren't doing much of anything. And yet he's found a way to take Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and get them to 5-1, beating good teams along the way.
No question about it. Robert Saleh's doing a lot of that with the Jets as well.
Yes, exactly. Another team.
They're starting to get it, right? And Segs, listen, when people say, coaching, all you got to do is look at the Giants and tell me the way it's changed, what Brian Dable, his energy, they're not beating themselves like the Giants have done year after year after year. And here's the key, just like in the fourth quarter of a game, if you let an average team hang around, they start to believe they can win. You let the Giants start to believe. They're starting to believe there's a little swagger on that football team now.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like we're not the Giants you guys are laughing at us. We're the Giants that we're smirking and you're laughing with us now.
Right.
At 5-1, think about this, Eggs, with a brutal, or should I say very average NFC. All they have to do is go 5-6.
Yep.
And they're making the playoffs. At worst, you may get in going 4-7 and winning 9 games. With 14 teams now, 7 in your conference, you may very well win 9 games depending on tiebreakers and find yourself in the playoffs. So at best, they have to go 5-6. At worst, they can go 4-7 and be flirting and possibly get in. That's called taking care of your business early to afford yourself if all of a sudden we see the old Giants. But I think Brian Daboll's shifted the narrative there, and they're buying into it.
Yeah, for sure. And then the one bad thing for them is they just happen to have the Eagles in their division, who are 6-0. And I'm going to run through their schedule with you. You tell me when they lose first.
Okay.
Versus Pittsburgh.
They're going to beat Pittsburgh.
At Houston.
Boat race.
Home against Washington.
They'll beat them too.
At Indy.
long as you're not within a touchdown in the fourth quarter, I got the Eagles.
Home against the Packers.
I think the Packers are average. I'll take their defense right now. If the defense played the Packers offense, they'd beat them into the ground.
And the problem with the Packers is they're getting worse each week.
Yeah. Their offense, and their defense can't bail them out right now. And the right. Eagles defense may very well be a reason why they're standing in February the way they're playing.
Home against Tennessee.
I would have to say the Eagles.
At the Giants.
Eagles. I think the Eagles will
at
beat
Chicago.
Chicago by 30.
No, Eagles. I mean, Justin Fields, 36 touchdowns in Eagles. That game alone.
Dude, you're going through this, and I'm telling you, I was going to say there's no damn way they're going undefeated, so let's stop that talk. Yet, these are all legitimate, foolproof. If they play like they have to date, there's not a team so far that beats them.
And then they wrap up with at Dallas, home against New Orleans, home against the Giants.
Gosh, I'm going to say this team ends up 14-3, or 15-2. Yeah, they're going to have a loss in December somewhere like the Cowboys at home. Yeah. Prescott will get to, they're going to have a loss in December. And one of those teams we just said, like Tennessee is going to go in there and Henry's going to rush for a $160. They're going to win 20-13 type of game, right?
Yep.
So somehow, I don't know what it is. I got them for 14-3 to 15-2. They're not going undefeated.
Yeah.
I'll give him at the most 3 losses and at the best 2 losses. I think there's 2 losses in there. And I'm not, now the schedule doesn't scream that they're getting their ass kicked. They don't have Kansas City or they already had Buffalo they took care of. They don't have to deal with, you know, some of these other teams, but they also beat Minnesota. They mm-hmm. curb stomped. I mean, they beat Minnesota. So Segs, just what we say, don't look now, but I can't see it. So 14-3, 15-2, one of those losses in December.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Sean Salisbury Show. We got some more interesting NFL games this weekend compared to this past weekend where, like I said, there was 2 games and then the rest were just a bunch of stuff that we didn't care about because, like we've talked about on this episode, the product just isn't there right now for the NFL. Miami's going to get Tua back. Hopefully we get some other players back healthy. And then the trade deadline, maybe it'll kick some things into motion and some other teams will take some chances on some big name players that will help elevate, you know, the play of some of these other teams to get to the level of Kansas City, Buffalo, Philly.
Right. We'll get to all the other like NBA and when we roll on, cause you and mm-hmm. I are both diehard hockey fans. We both love the NBA and we're huge baseball fans. So, and now we get a whole year to cover all that stuff, but I do want to get, we don't have to give analysis. Give me, who's representing the NBA in the finals this year before the season starts tonight? Give me your final 4, 2 in the West, 2 in the East.
In the East, I'm going to go, man, Boston with all that shit going on. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say Milwaukee and I don't.
You're going to go Sixers. Don't do it, Sags.
I don't know who else. I mean, I think there's some interesting teams, but
there's Brooklyn and there's Philly and there, you know, but the question
I just,
is, do you trust
I don't
them?
Trust either of those teams, but I think it's going to be one of them. So I'll just go with the Sixers because of Joel Embiid, just because I think he's going to be an MVP type candidate this year, like he is every year, and he'll get them at least to there. But I'm going to say Milwaukee goes.
Okay, and Nikola Jokic, she's won it back-to-back years. The NBA doesn't like to give it 3 times in a row, so there's going to be, like, Ja Morant, Luka Doncic, somebody else. We've been through – Giannis has got his. You know how it is. They're going to jump to somebody else. Maybe it's Embiid's turn because he could have won it last year.
Yes,
he's been on the cusp for a couple years. All right, I'm going with all the Boston stuff. I think their players are good enough, but there's a lot of chaotic stuff going on there. A team that was in the finals and goes through all this stuff, and what will it say if the next coach – can take them to the NBA Finals again.
True.
I'm going to go Boston, Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee's back in the NBA Finals for me. And I'll start in the West, Segs. I think the West is pretty cool. I think Memphis takes another jump, especially if Morant can stay healthy all year. I think Dallas is on the cusp, don't you? This may be a Luka Doncic MVP season. Utah rebuilding after all the stuff they've done. You know, we know Denver's going to be around. I think the Lakers are going to be a play-in. I don't think they're a top-6 team.
No.
The Suns, the question with me, with all their chaos, too. But, Segs, are they at the point Have they shot their wad? You know what I'm saying? The last 2 years, they had Milwaukee down 2-0, and then Dallas goes in and takes them out. Last year is the best team record in the NBA. What's left? Is there another level for them to get to? So for me in the West, I'm going to go Denver and the Golden State Warriors.
Okay, I like
and
that.
Golden State, Milwaukee in the finals.
All right, for me, I look at this.
And then
I think
Draymond Green's on his last year in Golden State.
Yes,
he's on his last year in Golden State.
I'm going on pure what I want to happen. I think, it could happen. It could definitely happen because, like what you just said, but I think the NBA deserves it because of all the shit that's going on between them. Golden State, Memphis, all that talk we had. And, you know, I don't still understand why Memphis was talking because they lost, but they continue to talk. They're
sneaky,
a bunch of young guys.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to say that, but I think the Warriors are too good. I'm picking the Warriors to win the finals again because they're ridiculous. And Steph Curry, he just continues to play. Klay Thompson's healthy. And here's the key.
Poole got paid. Poole got paid. Wiggins elevated his game. Yeah.
James Wiseman, there's the key to that team this year. If he can stay
healthy season,
they go from, you know, here to way up because
you got a guy who can rim protector and can run the court.
Yeah. And I mean, they still got guys like, you know, Kuminga, who was young, only 19 last year. The other lottery pick they had, Moses Moody from Arkansas.
Right.
They got so much talent. It's just ridiculous. It's not fair that they had that 1 year where they just sucked and got Wiseman. And then, from trades and stuff, they got two lottery picks on top. It's just crazy.
Postseason DNA too, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Postseason DNA. So, in the end, I'm with you. And I'll tell you, a team just to keep an eye on in the West that could make a little more headway, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Getting Gobert.
Let's see how that works.
I'm curious, right?
Yeah.
That's why I said could. I'm anxious to see off-season deals, another level. The West can be brutal, though. But I do like your Memphis pick because they're supremely gifted.
Yes.
But you're going to have one hell of a time beat Golden State in a seven-game series, no matter when you play. All right, we're down to this. Yankees go, Cleveland go today. That game's about to get underway.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
I'm going to say the Guardians.
Okay. All right. Did they single you to death and small ball you to death with good pitching, right?
I fucking can't stand that team.
Okay. they're in your division, Sage, yeah. But Francona's really good. All right, I'm going to take the Yankees, even though I want Tito to win. I just want the Astros and the Yankees to play again.
Yes.
Does that make sense? I think the Astros are too good in the American League right now. They win. Pitching, hitting, the Astros go to the World Series.
Yeah, I believe. I mean, you can't pick against the Astros with the amount of pitching that they have. Is just ridiculous. They better hit the ball better if they want to win.
Those two teams are going to get to the World Series.
And the NL are hitting the ball too well.
Mash.
And this just feels like a Philadelphia Phillies year. I don't know why they shouldn't win, but it just feels like it's their year that they're going to win the World Series, in my opinion.
So you got them and Astros in the series?
Yep.
I'm going to take
Philly just because of the way it feels.
Okay. I'm going to go. At the beginning of the season, when we do our picks like we've always done, I took the Padres in Toronto to get to the World Series. Even with the Dodgers, I took the Padres. And that's little hometown love.
Yeah.
That's thinking Tatis was going to be playing. Tatis, right? And now he's not. But that's also not – remember that you had no idea that Bell and Soto were on their way to San Diego, Peco. I'm going – and this is my wish to Astros and Padres – now, since we're the flagship, I'm going to pick the Astros to win it, but I didn't pick the Astros to get there. So the closest I can get is Padres winning the whole thing because that's who I picked for the National League. But seven-game series, Padres versus Astros, and just for the celebration purposes, I'll take the Astros and the Padres. Still get this. What, they'll be their third World Series if they get in, Segs, and they'd be 0-3 if they lose again, right?
Yep.
84 in the 90s, right? The 90s, what, 90-something, mid-90s maybe?
Yeah.
I can't remember, 90 somewhere around there. Yeah, I'm thinking that same way. I know the first one was 84 against Detroit, and in the 90s, and now this one should be. And there's some clutch gene going on in Philly right now too. And they talk about a team that'll roll with swagger. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
so you have it, man. Just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
It's gonna be fun. Yeah, we'll start talking all sports as they all get going. College basketball's not too far away, which
can't wait.
I'm pumped for.
Yeah, you and me. Well, that's you and I usually set a top. That's usually one of our favorites. I love college hoops. So can't wait.
So it's all coming in. You know,
I'm a
when
parlaying gambling fool with college hoops, brother.
Exactly. All right. As always, thank you to Bet Online for sponsoring the show. And you can find us right there at Believe.com. We will talk to you later this week.
Great stuff, brother. Thank you.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.